Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. Welcome, everybody, to the Playmaker Podcast. Today, we've got a great guest. We're going to be talking about inbound sales. We're going to be talking about ABM. And to do that, I pulled a gentleman from across the pond, Fess Ascari, and he is right now the head of inbound sales at Strategic IC, and they really focus on this full funnel approach around inbound leads, ABM, and your sales funnel. Fess, thanks for joining, and how the heck are you?
Hey, Gabe. I'm good. I'm great, actually. I'm having a great end of the week, particularly having the opportunity to speak with you today.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're on the opposite end. I'm just starting. You're ending. Now, Fess and I met, it's been a while, wasn't it, man? It was, it's like 3 months at least, right? 3 months ago I was over there?
A few months ago, yeah. You were over in London. I was really excited to attend the Inside Sales Masterclass that you were hosting in London. I have to say, probably one of the best sales events that I've been to, and I thought the content was great, and the venue especially was really great, but the engagement and the interaction I thought was exceptional, and I'm looking forward to seeing if you guys host another one.
That's right. That was a fun session. We maybe had 50, I can't remember, maybe 50 to 75, somewhere in there. But
it was a packed house.
It was, it just was super engaging. I had a great time as well. I mean, we had a couple people really pushing back. But when you run a full day, it was a full day. When you do a full day session, you could sometimes lose people at about two, but I felt like we were having a blast. So I'm glad to hear it worked out for you as well. I had a good time, although I was still a little jet lagged.
The content was great. And the food was great as well. I have to say that the food you guys put on for the event was great.
That's awesome. I'm glad you remember that. I can't even remember what was served. So I probably didn't do you justice in your introduction. Can you tell us a little more about yourself and some of the things you've done here in the past?
Yeah, sure. So I'm currently working for Strategic IC. We are a B2B inbound to ABM agency. We work at a global level for clients in the enterprise technology, professional services, and pharmaceutical sector. We've got clients in the UK, in London, over in the US, over to Dublin, and then we work with teams globally, Barcelona, Singapore, all over the place. And, for these companies, we're working in a kind of full funnel approach. We're working with them to help analyze their lead generation, their demand generation activities, all the way through to the more strategic account-based marketing programs. I say account-based marketing, but it's actually kind of account-based everything nowadays, really account-based revenue focus that most enterprise clients have.
That's right.
So it's really about understanding the approach that they're taking at the moment and where there's some opportunities to help them make some improvements and get more value from their sales and marketing process.
I love it. So outside of work, I always like to put people on the spot. What's the thing that you're most embarrassed about in life? No, maybe not most embarrassed. Your hobbies, something you're passionate about. Do you you ever shot kangaroos in Australia or something like that?
I'm not that cool, but one thing about me is I'm a bit of a comic book geek. I grew up reading Batman, Superman, and it's kind of just stuck with me my whole life. So I love that kind of that kind of superhero type thing, and a bit geeky. But when you work in the kind of technology marketing space, I think everyone's a little bit geeky at heart.
Oh, there's truth to that.
So yeah, it's cool.
The funny thing is I felt a little overloaded with all the super stuff, right? There's so many movies. It's kind of like, first couple ones, man, I was going to every one of them and I was into it. Not quite, like a nerd like you and reading comic books, to be honest, but I was going to the movie, but I stopped for a while and then somebody convinced me to go to Wonder Woman. Did you see Wonder Woman?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's fantastic. It was fantastic. Like Iron Man 1, fantastic. I mean, I just...
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah.
I mean, you got to go see
I'm
it.
I'm actually more into the kind of more mature, like, I like the Kick-Ass. I like, you know, the kind of subculture stuff more than the obvious superheroes.
Oh, I see. Kind of you're like a real... Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so Wonder Woman's not on your radar.
Well,
you
super nerd. Let's put it like that.
There you go. Well, man, then pop out of your super nerdness for a while, my friend, and go see Wonder Woman. It's a good show. Anyways, so, Fez, I want to get into this talk track around optimizing companies from kind of beginning to end. I think you're in a unique role in that you consult these different companies around inbound sales, you know, around account-based marketing. Let's start with inbound sales. As you face these challenges with these companies, what are some of the more common things you're seeing companies face challenges with to really get from a level one to kind of a level two in optimization?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think one of the key challenges at the moment is, particularly in inbound marketing and that lead generation side of things, is having context behind the leads that are coming in to the sales teams. Traditionally, particularly the enterprise level, you know, there was a lot of outbound activity, and sales teams are very used to talking about their brand, their product, and their service. But when it comes to inbound marketing and inbound sales, it has to be much more about the buyer and their challenges and aligning your products and solutions to their pain points. And really, I think it's training sales teams to take advantage of the data and the insights and the context of the buyer that you have when you generate leads into the business. And also making sure that you're not overwhelming the sales teams with irrelevant leads and data, and making sure that they understand which are the right leads to talk to at the right times, in the right channels, and what kind of conversation they should be having. You know, is it the lead is at an awareness stage and they need some more information, or is it more middle or bottom of the funnel and they're looking for different types of content and tools at that stage? So, you know, it's really shifting the sales process and helping the sales team to better understand the context behind who they're talking to and the leads that are coming into the business. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Absolutely. Do you feel like, you know, a lot of people, I mean, have kind of shifted from inbound sales to kind of, you know, they jump on the bandwagon of this account based sales. What do you feel like? Should companies run both? Is there a place for both? Or why would you have one and not the other?
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, you need a multi-channel approach. You know, often teams see success with outbound calling if it's backed up with data and insights and maybe a personalized content approach. And then the inbound lead generation, that's got its own strain of sales follow-up process behind it. And then account-based sales. I mean, I just came off a call earlier today when I was using LinkedIn Sales Navigator to build my reach within an account, an enterprise technology vendor, and we had created some personalized content for that account. And I'm using, you know, introductions through LinkedIn to help me build my footprint within that account. So you do need, you know, multiple strains to your approach. There are different tactics that you need for each type of activity. So you can't just use the same strategy for all channels. It needs to be aligned back to the approach that you're taking, whether it's inbound, outbound, or account-based.
Got it. Now, do you feel like that helps kind of set the stage a little more? So I want to follow back up with this inbound thing for a moment. I mean, providing context, for example, to the sales team. I mean, there obviously has been this debate of sales and marketing kind of hate each other. I want to start there for just a minute. Maybe context is one of the things, but how do you recommend that you know, if you had to say it is two or three things that really bring sales and marketing together, would you put context at your top of your list, or how can those two teams work better or more effectively together?
Yeah, definitely. I think context is one of the key items that should be talked about on a regular basis between sales and marketing, because what we find is that sales have really valuable conversations with prospects and customers, and it's those conversations conversations that you need to be pulling back into your marketing collateral. And the more relevant and resonant those conversations with sales and the prospect or the customer are, the more relevant your content is going to be for marketing. So again, it's going back to that shift from changing the marketing content from brand and product focus to being about the buyer challenges, and really getting those challenges out from the sales conversations into the market via your marketing collateral.
Yeah, why do you think? I mean, what hinders companies? Because as I hear you talk, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I mean, we should make it a little more about the buyer rather than be more generic. You know, we should pass some context, for example, to the sales team. What has hindered people from doing that? I mean, I was just on site with a client the other day, and the context thing came up again. That's why my mind kind of keeps going to it. But it's like they're getting these inbound leads, and they don't know really anything about them. Is it been a system problem? Is that why? Do people just not get that maybe you need to kind of bring those two together? What has stopped us from doing it?
Well, there's many levels to it. The first level would be education across sales and marketing. So often we work with clients, when we start working with clients, you know, we're working with marketing teams that you know, they've got great marketing processes, but maybe they don't really talk to sales that often. They're siloed teams, and they just need to understand the types of questions that they need to be asking the sales guys to get the most value, sales guys and girls, most value from the sales conversations and the sales processes. And the flip is also in the sales team, you know, they're not asking marketing for personalized content. They don't know that that is available to them.
Yeah.
So it's about having that education about what kind of questions should you be asking to each other. And also having a process in place to manage that conversation, you know, a weekly sales and marketing or smarketing meeting, a weekly, fortnightly, monthly, whatever it is. And that needs to happen at maybe a corporate level. It needs to happen at a local level if you're working regionally within key markets. And it also needs to happen between corporate and the local level. Because often challenges that are occurring in the more mature markets, maybe like the US or the UK, may be challenges that you can kind of see happening in the future in less developed markets. So, you know, taking the learnings that you have in the UK and then making sure that your processes work and then rolling out the program in less mature markets.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. You got to kind of bring those together, and oftentimes the system may not do it. You actually have to sit in the same room and have a conversation sometimes. What is your thoughts on this idea of, I mean, I call it prioritization, but I know you alluded to it in kind of your original point. You know, sales reps, they'll sit down in front of their machine, and it is kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know really who to go after. Should I go after company A or company B or company C? How do you start? I mean, you know, a lot of companies are moving to scoring. Any thoughts on how you solve this problem of personalization?
Yeah, I think scoring has its place, depending on the volume of leads that we're talking about. But it also comes down to having that conversation around between sales and marketing and product and customer success, if you have those functions in the business, really understanding who are the best customers that the business has. If you have existing customers, you know, who are the most profitable, who are the ones that have the best lifetime value, the lowest churn, etc., and making sure that you have some prioritization about those profitable customers. And then if you don't have existing customers, you know, understanding what is the value proposition you're taking to market and what is the best fit for those customers. So we do a lot of work around buyer persona development at the inbound marketing level. But as you go more into account-based marketing, you're looking at, you know, executive profiling and really getting an understanding about executives and what are their commercial drivers, but what are their personal drivers as well? You know, are they very hungry in their career? How can you align with those kind of traits? So it's really understanding, you know, the drivers within your existing customers and then profiling that out into potential new customers.
Oh yeah, I do. I got 10 follow-up things on that, but I want to ask this one first on, do you feel like, I mean, certainly I think people have heard that term of, you know, ideal customer profile or buyer personas, but Without giving away all the trade secrets, is there one tip or one piece of feedback that you'd say, guys, when you're creating or trying to understand your ideal customer profile or, you know, the optimal buyer persona, make sure you do X, or make sure you get to, you know, is there something that you would recommend to do to kind of get them on the right path?
Yeah, number one, you know, back it up with data. You know, a lot of companies that we talk to, they think that they know their buyer personas. They create very top level buyer personas. Their gut feeling is our buyer personas, you know, buy through this channel and they do X, Y, and Z. Let's see the data. Show me the data. Show me evidence what you're saying here. And if you can't do it, let's go and find the data. Let's figure it out. Because and I'm not saying everything is in the data, because often, you know, there isn't everything in the data. Your experienced sales and marketers within the business know things that sometimes the data can't show. But it's tying the data to that insight that's in your business that will deliver the most impact and the best ROI.
Man, I love it. I think you nailed it. So, okay, let's close the door on inbound sales for a moment, and I want to jump over to this concept of account-based marketing, account-based sales, account-based revenue, account-based everything, account-based whatever the heck you want to call it. You just mentioned something. You mentioned this idea of really trying to understand, and this may be going a little deep, but I want to go here first because you just said it. You know, you kind of said, man, if you're really getting into your buyer personas, you want to get to know them personally so that you can kind of be able to bring that into your sales motion. How deep should you be thinking about getting into these executive profilings? And how does that then spin into the sales process? And we're going a little tactical for a minute. We might need to pop out to make sure we get the picture. But you mentioned it, and I didn't want to lose that train of thought.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's a really interesting question. It depends on the size and shape of business that you are, and also the size and shape of business that you are targeting. You know, there's a level of resource and investment that it takes to deliver an enterprise account-based marketing program, right? And also, you need to consider account-based marketing sales, account-based everything, at different points in the buyer journey. So you can use personalization at the top of the funnel when you're trying to engage and open doors and build just an introduction with somebody. And as you get through that buyer journey, as you go through the purchase cycle, you start to build out an understanding of which leads qualify for a deeper level of insight and which accounts qualify for spending more time on that profiling, spending more resources on building more personalized, whether it's direct mail or events or content. So it's not that you're just going to, you know, just to get your foot in the door, create a really bespoke, customized piece of direct mail just to get your foot in the door. You may do some sort of direct mail and customization, but the extent of that will depend on what you're trying to achieve. Are you trying to achieve just getting them to pick up the phone? Are you trying to get them to see you for face-to-face? Or are you trying to close a deal? So there's different levels of investment you need to make depending on, you know, what stage the opportunity is at.
Yeah. So there you may need to go a little bit deeper. You may need to go a little bit higher. Well, let's pull back out for just a second. When you think of account-based everything or account-based revenue, how is that different? How is it different than what people were doing before, or is it different than inbound sales? Can you give us kind of a stamp on that?
Yeah, so our model is inbound to ABM, and the foundation of that is inbound marketing, demand generation, getting engagement in the accounts and with the contacts. So they may download some content, and they may engage with your website. You may have some sales conversations with them. You know, maybe not sales, but more, hey, you know, I see you downloaded this guide. Would you like some more information about this topic, et cetera, et cetera. Those accounts that fit the good profile of profitable customers, then they elevate into what we call an ABM light program, which is you start to create more account personalized content. So you're trying to identify the decision making units or demand units within an account. The bigger product sales, the bigger the account, the buying team. As you move into the enterprise sales space, you're going to have decision making units of maybe between 5 and 8, across procurement, across IT, financial, and then, whatever you're selling in, it might be a marketing product to the CMO, et cetera. So, inbounds at the ABM light level, you're trying to identify that decision-making unit. And then when you get to that ABM strategic one-to-one activity, you really know who the decision maker is. You're trying to influence the decision-making process in your favor. And that's when you're trying to deliver, really bespoke customer value propositions to support your deal strategy.
That makes sense. That makes sense. If you had to, again, kind of go into the nitty gritty, going back, I'm jumping all around here, but is there, less having done these types of ABM with clients, I want to go to the challenges place. Where do you feel like people get stuck? Is it just not knowing how to kind of be creative and personalize? Is it not even actually, getting to action? Yeah. They just kind of are always thinking, not doing. I mean, where do they get stuck?
I think the challenge is insights. Really understanding how and what kind of insights you need to create an effective account-based marketing program that's going to impact an account and the contacts within that account with both the commercial and the emotional triggers or hooks that's going to get them to really to have your business differentiated from your competitors and make your case compelling. And so it's leveraging those insights, understanding how to acquire insights, how to use that insight in developing your messaging and your bespoke customer value proposition. So insights is often a challenge that we help to address, because what we tend to do is build that program in a pilot and then train internal teams as to how to generate those insights. It could be from their automation platform, their CRM, third-party data tools. It could be using the sales team to inform the campaigns through workshops that we host with the sales team or other stakeholders within the business. So it's really pulling all of that insight and that data together to inform the campaign strategy, to build the personalized messaging that we can then promote into an account.
I love it. No, that makes perfect sense. So we'll wrap up with this question. On ABM, so that's one of the main challenges is insights. Do you then flip that and you said, guys, companies, who's ever out there, listen, if you want to nail ABM, think, start with X or start with Y. Where do you have people kind of start if they want to take this path?
I would suggest that just as a standardized process in your sales and marketing, you start to really look at your buyers as individuals and humans rather than just leads. And you start to look at them in terms of their interests. It's so easy just to, before you pick up the phone, have a look at somebody's LinkedIn profile, have a look at their Twitter profile, just find out a little bit more about them and humanize the process a little bit more and personalize it. And it adds so much context to the conversations that you're having. It adds so much value to the types of communications and messages you put in front of them. And that whole, using insights and personalization, that's a big shift that's happening at the moment. And it's not hard to capitalize on that. You just have to have a process in place to understand how and when it's appropriate to use it.
Yeah, no, I love it. Well, Fess, I got to admit, great talk track. Sounds like you guys do some really cool stuff. It's been fun kind of going back and forth with you. I think you guys are definitely on to something. It's always fun to meet people who know what they're talking about. If someone wanted to get in touch with you or learn a little bit more about some of the fun things you do, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, you can hit me up on LinkedIn or Twitter or visit our website. We use the chatbot on there, and you can engage with us directly in chat. We love Drift, and there's loads of ways to get in touch with us. Just, LinkedIn or the website. It's really easy.
I appreciate it. Well, with that, for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.